Mark chapter 11. First, but I'm going to read a few other verses here before we read here in Mark chapter 11. The scripture says in Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The apostle Paul is describing his own predicament of sin and his own need. And he said, "Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the biggest sinner." That's what he said. "And he saved me." And Paul was a wicked, wicked man who murdered and hated the church and was fighting against the church. But yet the gospel message came to him on the road to Damascus. Praise God, Saul, who became Paul, was transformed by the power of the gospel. Luke 19 in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the plan of God, a plan of salvation that included you and included me. Amen. It's really hard for us to even grasp it, but it's true that all down through the many, many centuries, all down through the years, the plan of God is real, and it's available. And here we are living in these last moments just before the coming of the Lord, and Jesus is still about salvation. Amen. He still wants to touch your life and change your life. That's His plan. It's a personal plan for you to know the Lord and for your life to be changed by the power of the gospel. You don't have to keep going on like you are. You don't have to continue wrestling with the old life and sin. You can turn yourself, your life, your future over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save you. Amen. Can you imagine a more wonderful term, a more wonderful word than just the word salvation? The word, or to be able to say, "I'm saved. I know I'm saved." That's the most glorious thing that you can even conceive of this side of heaven. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved, isn't it? Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 1. "When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. They went their way and found the colt tied." Tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. "And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there and said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, Even as Jesus hath commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple, but he had looked around about all the things, and now the eventide was come. He went out unto Bethany with the 12. Well, it's a great, great story. But I want to make a comparison. I'd like to compare every one of us here today to the donkey colt. I'd like to compare you to a donkey, to this donkey colt here in this story. As I said, that in every page and in every story, when you look through the scripture, you're going to see in the volume of the book, it's written of me. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. It's in Psalm 40. That all throughout, in the volume of the book, the Word of God, is the message of salvation. You see it everywhere. And interesting enough, you'll even see it in the story about this little donkey colt. And I just want to make a few comparisons here this morning and compare this little donkey to lost mankind. And just look at it and see if you can see in the scripture what I'm going to try to point out to you here this morning. First of all, Jesus comes and he commissions two of his disciples to go, to send them to this little village, little small village, and he tells them what they are going to encounter when they get there. You understand with me that if people are going to be saved, it's going to be because you and I have been commissioned of the Lord. We have received the apostolic calling. We have been sent forth, and we have been called of the Lord to take the gospel to the world. Amen. People are going to get saved because of your testimony, because of your willingness to reach out to someone, to minister to them. And Jesus many times sent his disciples out two by two. And in this case, he sends two disciples to go after this little colt. But I want you to be reminded this morning of the fact men are saved because we respond to the gospel, and he uses people to reach out to those that are in need. How can they hear if there's not a preacher? How are they going to believe unless they have heard? And so the gospel is to be preached, certainly from the pulpit, but even more importantly, the gospel is to be preached everywhere we go. We are his epistles. We are his letters. We are his testimony. Everywhere that we go, with our words, with our lifestyle, we are to be a witness everywhere that we go, and we're to be salt in the earth and light in the earth. And as a result, we cause people to hunger and to desire to know the Lord. Just because they know you, those in this world should want to know about Jesus. We have been called upon by the Lord to spread the gospel. And these two disciples were commissioned to go, and they went. Praise God. We are all called to go, are we not? Every one of us. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God. The word there, dispensation, really means like a stewardship. You've been given a responsibility. You have been given something that's very valuable and treasured, and you are to, everywhere you go, spread the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. Live before them the life of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was doing. Another place he said, I'm a debtor. I'm in debt because I've heard the gospel, because I have received the message of the gospel. Then everyone else that I come in contact with, the Greeks, the barbarians, everyone that I come in contact with, I am in debt to them because I owe them a debt because I have received so much. Amen. And so none of us can neglect it. None of us can turn aside from this responsibility that we have. It's everyone who is born again that has a responsibility, a dispensation, a stewardship of the gospel that we need to be spreading everywhere we go. Amen. Amen. The church has such a privilege to be able to spread the gospel to a world that is in need. What's the condition of the world? Well, just like this little colt, the Bible says that when they got to this little village, that they saw the colt just like Jesus said, and he was tied. It says that he was tied up there. It says that he was by the door, and that he was tied up without, that he was in a predicament, that he needed to be set free. And that's what Jesus told the disciples to do. When you go and you find this little colt, you loose him. You set him free. People are bound in sin just like this little donkey colt. And you can see, you say, well, is there a message of the gospel in a story like this? Absolutely. It's all through the Word of God. Everywhere you look, you're going to see the message of the gospel, and you're going to see it in the simplicity of this little story about this little animal. Amen. This little donkey colt tied up there, and was totally under the dominion of its owner, a beast of burden. But now to be set free. Amen. You know, that's the condition of the world. That's the condition of people in their sin. They are bound. They are bound. You wonder, how can people live the way they live? How can they go in the direction that they go? They're blinded and they're bound by sin, and they don't even realize what they're doing and how far away from God that they are. But that was the condition of this little donkey coat. He was tied up. And then it says that he was tied by the door. Now we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the door. He's the only way. But he had no access and no way. He had to be set free. First of all, you know, you can be in the church. You can be close to Christian people. You can have a lot of religious training. But you have to be set free if you're going to be able to enter in to this wonderful salvation that is made available. You notice that there's this urgency in the voice of the Lord as he tells those disciples, go into the city, you're going to find this little animal, he's going to be tied up, loose him so that he can be set free. Now that's what Jesus is in the business of doing. Bringing people to freedom. Setting people free who are bound in their sin. You say, God never gets in a hurry. Well, I beg to differ. I believe that God does get in a hurry, and he's in a hurry to reach those that are lost. Amen. That prodigal that was returning from the far country, when his father saw him, the Bible says that he ran to him, and he fell on him, and he kissed him. I don't know. I just believe that God is in a hurry to reach those that are bound in their sin. Amen. He wants to reach them. He wants to provide hope and salvation to those that are bound. And that's exactly the predicament that this little animal presents to us in this story. Notice here that when they got there, that he was tied up. It says that never a man had sat upon him. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Amen. Do you understand that God knows the condition of every man? Amen. He's not surprised. He's omniscient. That's just a big word for describing the nature and the character of our Lord, and that he knows all and he sees all. Amen. The Bible says his eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. His eyes are everywhere. God knows what's going on. And that's one of the most interesting things about this story, is that he told the disciples, I want you to go to this little village, and this is what you're going to see. You're going to find this little animal tied up. Loose him, let him go. And if they come and ask you, what are you doing with my donkey, that you are supposed to say to them, the Lord hath need of him. Amen. Isn't it an interesting thing that the Lord knew? Now, I'm not a big animal person, but I've come to the conclusion, just in my studies over the last few weeks about heaven, that there are going to be animals in heaven. Now, I don't know if your dead animal will be in heaven. I don't know. But I've come to that conclusion, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but I do know this, that the animal kingdom was really important to God. Important enough to God that he used animals in a lot of different ways. And he created them and brought them to Adam, and gave Adam the responsibility of giving a name, a title, to every one of the animal kingdom. Isn't that amazing? He cared enough about them that when he was going to destroy all of mankind with a flood, that he provided a way not only for men to be preserved, but for all the animal kingdom to be preserved. It's pretty interesting, really, when you think about the things that God cares about and the various animals that are used. But in this account here, he says to these two disciples, You're going to go to this little village, and I have seen this little animal tied up. I see him. He is in God's knowledge. Now, if he knows about the sparrow, if he knows about all of the animals, if he knew that this little animal was in this particular place and in the predicament that he was in, you can be sure that God knows about you and he cares about you. Amen. The Lord knows right where you are. Amen. And we need to understand that God is mindful of us. The psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou considerest him, you visitest him, you think about him." Isn't it an amazing thing to think about the fact that God, who is the creator of everything that is, who has always been and always will be, that you are in his thinking. You are in his mind. And even if you don't know the Lord, even before you were saved, even before the foundation of the world, he provided a way for you to be saved, even before you were ever born. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? That God knows your condition. He knows all. He sees all. He knows where you are. He knows your trouble. He knows your down sitting, your uprising. He knows everything about you. And if you're not a Christian today, he knows all about the predicament of your life. Amen. He's omniscient. He sees all. He knows all. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Remember the story there in the Gospel of John when Andrew was bringing a Nathanael to Jesus. And when Jesus saw Nathanael, he spoke up and said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." They never met before. And Nathanael responds and says, "Whence knowest thou me?" That's King James for, "How in the world do you know who I am? How do you know who I am?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you that don't know the Lord, or maybe some of you who may think that the Lord isn't interested or concerned about you or your problems or your needs, you're wrong. You're wrong. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you are right at this very moment. And he knows the predicament of your life. He knows your nature, your character. He understood that Nathanael was a man that had no guile in him. He said, "I saw you under that tree, and I saw you in your predicament that you were in." Whatever it was that he was doing under the tree, maybe praying and crying out to God, asking God for mercy. We don't really know, but he said, "I saw you there. I saw you there in the predicament." It encourages me to know that when we do go, like we were describing last weekend, when we do go through trials and problems, and that we are not alone in them. God knows where you are. He knows what you're experiencing and the troubles and the needs that you have. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, the Lord knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. Hallelujah. Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Amen. The Lord knows where you are. He knows the burden of your heart. He knows your troubles, and he knows your sins, and he knows the predicament of your life. And amazingly, in this story, he knew exactly where this little animal was going to be, and he sent his disciples to set him free. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exactly what the Lord can do for you today. If you'll just allow him, he can work in your life. He can change your life as well. It says that this little animal was in a place. "If any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him. And they went their way and found the coat tied by the door without in a place where two ways met." I don't know, for me, this just describes the predicament that every person comes to in their life. In a place where two ways met, the cross, the crux of the matter, the decision place, that everyone comes to that place in their life when there has to be a choice made. Now, I understand that salvation is a free gift, and I understand that God has provided salvation for every man, but every man is not saved unless they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also created us all with a free will to choose. We can receive the gospel and reject it. We can make a choice to turn away from the Lord, and many, many do. And we all are in that place. We're bound and we're tied in that place of decision, that place of where two ways met, a place of decision. The scripture in Matthew 7 and 13, "Enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I think we need to really take serious this whole matter of our soul's salvation, and know with certainty where you stand with the Lord. Know that you have come to that place in your life, that you have repented of your sins, you have confessed your sins, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have truly been born again of the Spirit of God. Not just going through some religious emotions, but you have truly been changed by the power of God. That's salvation. Your eyes have been enlightened, your eyes have been opened, and now you have a new life and new hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are, many at that place of decision. And I can remember as a young person, maybe 14, when I was wrestling over the decision of, should I serve the Lord? Yeah, I'd been raised up in churches there all the time, and heard the gospel preached many times, but there came a day in my life when I was right at that crux in the road. I was right at that decision place. I don't know, maybe I would have had more opportunities in the future, but I don't know that I would. I just don't really know for certain, but I do know this, that I came to a point where I recognized I couldn't keep going like I was in my sin. I had to turn to God. I had to call upon the Lord. And as a young person, I did that. I called upon the Lord. I confessed. I repented of my sins, and I put my trust in the Lord. There was a change that came into my life. There is a difference that came to my life. And I thank God that I can look back to that encounter with the Lord as a young person and recognize that Jesus changes lives at that place where two ways met. The Bible says that they untied that colt. They loosed him. And those that were there, you know, Jesus even knew that there would be those there that would say, "What are you doing? Why are you taking this animal?" And this really describes not only his omniscience, but it describes his sovereignty, that he's in control, that there's not nothing or no one in this world that is in control of your life if you'll put yourself into the hands of the Lord. Amen. What's wonderful about this story is this colt was an animal that had never been used before, had never been ridden before. And I think we could liken that to the fact that whenever you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's a newness that comes to your life. That the old is gone and you're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're new. And because of that, you become useful to God. And so they brought this little animal to the Lord. And you know the story, because that's the whole story of the triumphal entry that into Jerusalem that Jesus rode on this little animal and put the garments and on the animal and then rode into the city of Jerusalem. Never been ridden before, but now consecrated for usefulness to the Lord. Amen. It's a great little story, isn't it? What the Lord can do, can take a life that is bound. He sees where you are. He can send the message to you, to deliver you, to set you free, to give you hope, and to make you new and to make you useful in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord can do in all of our lives. It's amazing that the Lord can take horrible sinners, people involved in all kinds of wicked and evil ways, and He can change their life and He can make them new. And he can make preachers of the gospel out of them. He can use them in various ways in the kingdom of God because he takes sinners and makes them new. This little animal had never been ridden before, but now it comes and it's consecrated to the Lord. He's in control and he's being used for the glory of God. Amen. Now that's the plan of God for all of us, to be saved from our sin, to be given a new life, and to give it a new purpose for our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if the message in this little account here in Mark chapter 11 is so clearly the gospel message, let me just say that you can go through book after book of the Bible. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do thy will. That was the message. It's all about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about what he has come to do and the salvation that he has come to bring. Oh, we must not neglect it. We must not neglect the wonderful message of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have come to give life. You have come to give purpose to every one of us today. Lord, it's an amazing and wonderful thing to consider that your eyes are in every place and you know everything about us, about our lives. You know our sins. You know the predicament of our lives. And you are able, Lord, to come to right where we are. Thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer. Thank you, Lord, that you can bring salvation, Lord, to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that today in this service, if there are those who are not sure of their salvation, they're not certain where they stand with you, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and help them to see that you can change their life and can save them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.